Good morning and welcome to Project Joy, the radio show. And Sherry, are you there?
I am. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
It's working.
It's working. Indeed so. That's always great.
It is great. Ashwini and I did a little test. I don't know, it's our morning, so it's her night or something like that. And she wasn't able to make it work from there. She could hear me, but I couldn't hear her. And so little apprehension this morning that I was going to have the same experience. So it's very wonderful to hear your voice.
It is. Yeah, it's very refreshing to,
yes.
to make it work. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, perfect. Let's take off where we left off yesterday. So the assignment that we're looking at this morning, the quote is, "There is a time when the risk to remain tight in the bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom." Anais Nin.
Mm-hmm.
Today, consider one place in your life where you remain tight but would like to blossom. Practice the two-handed recording, letting the one who is tight share about his or her experience. Let life inform and nurture the blossoming.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Very good.
That's very good.
And, it's, you know, Sherry, I think I can get Janet on the line that we missed yesterday.
Oh, yay.
Shall we make an attempt?
Yeah. Let's find that gal.
All right. Hold on. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yay, you did it.
It worked.
That's two in a row.
Yeah. How are you?
I am so glad to get on. Okay. First, I want to say I have tried to get on many other days, but yesterday was the first day I got on, and when I lost it, it was like, this is so interesting. I couldn't figure out any way to get back on. So this is perfect. Hi. And since, Sherry, you said every day is pretty much the same, I'd love to just go back to yesterday's about tomorrow, because that is what I wanted to speak about. Don't be fooled by your mind into believing about tomorrow.
Yeah.
I had such I really sat with that. And, you know, I was sitting, like, watching the birds at the bird feeder, and right now it's snowing, just watching the snow. And it really came to me that, you know, there really isn't, like, what would I do? Would I get on a plane and go try to see my daughter to say goodbye, or what would I do? And the thing is that if I were living each moment really present, really here, there would be nothing lacking at that last day.
Uh-huh.
That was so profound when that came to me, that it's not about where I have to go out and get to, but it's how to keep bringing myself back here in every moment. And then that last day, it's just, this is just more of the, you know, I haven't missed anything. There's never anything to miss.
Right. Yes. And I don't know if this was part of it for you. When you say that, to me there's an element of, so as you said with your daughter, when we're living in the way you're describing, our relationships are complete.
Yes.
We haven't left any I love yous unsaid. We haven't stuck with any irritations or gaps in our relationship with that. It's complete. So anyone could leave in any moment with nothing unfinished.
It's like, I don't know, it just struck me as so profound. I guess I have never felt it at that depth before. Felt the knowingness of that.
Yes.
As truth.
Had a felt experience, a direct experience of that. Right?
Yes.
Which is my favorite part of Zen, right? So that's why, you know, the way it's written, no. Don't go to conditioned mind for, oh, yeah, I know, live each day as if it's your last. No. So, and
I
you
know,
went ahead and did
list.
What we're meant to do, which is have a direct experience. Yeah.
Yeah, and the direct experience, which is always, always profound.
Yes.
But, and it was. And my mind, what would my mind have said? Oh, my gosh, let's see, you've got to.
yes, and get to the bottom of that to-do list.
Exactly, right? That's how most days go unless we're paying attention.
Yes, yes, yeah. So it's kind of a matter of priorities, isn't it? So first we take care of that, being really present to what is, and then what am I called to do on this day? Do that.
Mm. Yeah.
And since the process is the outcome, we never have to leave that profound experience that you had. We can live there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I want to live there. I mean, it's like it's calling.
Yeah, not to miss another day.
It's calling and I'm listening. Huh?
Yeah, because that's what conditioning does, right? And that what you've seen in that is the fiendish nature of conditioned mind, that it has us always living somewhere other than here, never really in our lives, with a promise that somehow something is going to change sometime, and we're then going to experience what's possible for us as human beings. And, of course, it never delivers. We just miss our lives and then wind up in regret. But with this, you got it. It doesn't matter what you're doing as long as you're here.
Right. Right. Wow. So big. Yeah, because
so big.
Even if I keep going to that getting on a plane and going to just say, even that, it just wouldn't do it. Because then
no.
It would be something else. So it's...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because you'd be coming from that same outside the moment place, that same conditioned place. And it would never be satisfactory.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. boy, that's just, I'm practicing with that for sure. and while I have a chance, thank you so much for this year of practice.
I am
excited about this. This has been,
This
has been great, and I can't believe we've got 365 days of it. So,
So, Janet, one more thing before you go, because I have to say this, okay? You did, or you will, you are recording all of this, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, because that is critical, and for anybody who's listening in who thinks that is... peripheral to what we're doing. What you got in this experience, I project, is that it is not peripheral, that it is the way we stay focused on what's important to us. Because if we don't record it and if we don't make it a part of what we come back to on a regular basis, it just gets covered over by conditioning, it slides away, and we slip right back into that very familiar place of along through life. So
that is the truth.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You, my dear.
Okay.
Thank you.
Chris.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, thanks, Janet. Sure, there's a couple things about that stood out for me. One was how this whole notion of having a bucket list if it's your last day on the planet, and how almost nobody puts presence in the bucket list.
Yes. Yeah. Be here. Be here for the life I have instead of living in a conversation about how it could be or should be or might be if I... Yeah.
It's like a bucket list is a to-do list for a dying person or something like that. It's like, it just doesn't...
Right,
just
exactly.
And the other thing was that that one thing that Janet said about every direct experience is a profound experience, and boy,
yes,
that just hit home too.
Yes, yeah. People often report those kind of just little life moments that are so profound, right?
Yeah.
And they're kind of embarrassed when they're talking about it because it's like. It's like years ago, Sylvia talking about looking into her cereal bowl. She was on retreat, and she just looked into her cereal bowl, and she was so moved by the beauty of life that she just started crying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now, she was dying at the time, which does kind of up the ante, but we can all relate to that. We all know those kinds of places where it shouldn't, from conditioning's perspective, it shouldn't produce that kind of response. But it does, because we're here.
Yeah, it's really like every moment of presence like that, it has that kind of, can have that profound quality, and conditioned mind would love to just sweep all of them under the carpet and say, doesn't count.
It doesn't count. That's silly. Oh, come on. You're crying in your cereal. What is wrong with you?
Yeah. Very good. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's bring on our next caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Chris. This is Estella.
Well, hello, Estella.
Hi, Estella.
How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm doing so good, Sherry. I have to tell you, I'm loving this everyday connection that's happening. It's really wonderful.
This everyday Zen?
Yes.
All right.
It really helps stay on track with practice to have the kind of daily commitments and 5 days a week recording. That's great. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And plus, you can go out on your own on the weekend, right? And
yeah, actually, I have to say that's where I'm having to maybe make a little more effort to make sure I do get it in because I am rarely alone on the weekend, so I have to really carve out that time, but I'm working on it.
Yeah. You can always take a long bath. Or that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
We can find our ways.
Yes, absolutely. I'm experimenting now. So, so what I've been seeing, what I saw with yesterday's assignment, and kind of all along, it's a very subtle insight that I'm getting. So I'm trying to record about it as much as I can to kind of figure it out. But I think since I've been doing the right hand, left hand recording practice for a while now, a lot of times it wasn't truly the mentor's voice that was coming through. It was really conditioning disguised as a mentor, which I've heard you speak about plenty.
Yeah.
But I think I'm finally just starting to get it and how that voice is truly, kind of just like Janet was speaking about, it really is about presence and being. It's not about doing, hurry, you need to do more, but it really is about things are blossoming as they should without pushing it. I think you were saying something along those lines yesterday that was really quite lovely.
You can hear the difference, can't you?
I'm starting to. It's still tricky, but I'm starting to.
Well, it is because, and it's such an insight into how that system is able to do what it does to people because it just mimics. It mimics what we want to hear, what we're conditioned to want to hear, to believe. So somebody just got very upset with me recently and was letting me know that. And place that they went to with it is, and I've done a lot of recordings with the mentor, and the mentor says I'm right about this. And at that moment I thought, I can just listen here, because what we know after we've been interacting with the mentor for a while is the mentor is never going to say you're right. The mentor is never going to say, oh yeah, you've worked hard enough. you need to, you know, get a DVD and pop it in and watch a movie. Or I guess we stream now, don't we? But anyway, however you watch your movies. And the mentor is just never going to say that. Just never going to say that. It's going to be encouraging always that we are adequate, that we are capable, and that we can face any moment and be present in it, and that we will have all the support we need. Those are mentoring messages, not something that the ego kind of swells up and goes, yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yeah, or something that would happen to me, Sherry, when I would do like kind of evening, end of day recordings, is that the voice that I thought was mentor at the time would come in and say, okay, well, you did a good job today, but tomorrow you can do better. Tomorrow you can do this and this also. Tomorrow you'll meditate longer and get more done. So I always ended the day with this kind of sense of dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
And when I'm just starting to catch that now, that push, push, push voice is not the mentor's voice.
That's right. And that's the equivalent of, somebody says to you, oh, have you lost a little weight? Yeah. So how is that going to make you feel? Are we going to be confused about that's going to make you feel better? Mm-hmm. No. And that's not where it's coming from, right? And
right.
So even though it says these things in a voice that we'll fall for and believe, we wind up with that, as you say, dissatisfied. You feel bad, you feel pushed. So you worked really hard today, but you don't get great job. Great job. And let's go over those moments of kindness. None of that. Just okay, but tomorrow you could do better. Ooh. Thank you, coach. Thank you, coach. I think I'm going to another team.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that you use the weight as a example, because that is actually something I'm kind of dealing with right now, eating specifically, choosing healthier choices. And I do, as I'm starting to untangle it, I see how it was completely that, like, the coach was not the mentor, and now I'm able to really start to examine how my body feels when I eat certain things and come to it from more of that place instead of like pushing, like you need to be on a program, you need to be doing that and you should. Those shoulds I'm noticing have not been helpful.
No, they never are, and they always come from conditioning, don't they?
Yeah,
so I'm so glad you're bringing this to the conversation, because that is a really important place in recording and listening, to listen long enough, do the recordings, not be paranoid, not, you know, I can't really do this because maybe it's self-hate. That's another one that conditioning will use, right? Well, maybe you shouldn't record and listen anymore, because what if conditioning takes over the recordings? What if it's self-hate that what we're talking about is trusting adequacy, trusting life's guidance. We may get fooled, of course we will, and that's okay, because part of being fooled is seeing how we get fooled, recognizing that, and being less likely to be fooled in the future.
Mm-hmm. And it's a practice, right?
That's right. It's a practice. There aren't any mistakes, and the only thing we have to do is just keep doing. Just keep going, keep paying attention, and all will be revealed. And then it's so exciting, isn't it, when you get to this place of, oh, I see what doesn't work. Great, because in seeing what doesn't work, you've just seen what does work. So now you're headed off in this great new direction.
Mm-hmm. And it feels lighter to me. It feels this whole year so far has felt so much lighter to me, having caught on to that at least some of the time, which has been great.
Yes. Yeah. So getting to that point of realizing there's nothing wrong is a literal, true statement.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, does conditioned mind not want us really to grok that.
Uh-huh. Right? Of course.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. All right. Well, good.
Well, thank you.
Good
thank
on
you,
you
so
as we
Tyson.
Say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Estella.
All right. Take care.
Well, that just seems really critical, Sherry, not only to plow on through the resistance to recording and listening, but to really take it on as a practice and experiment with it as a way of clarifying the channel. The more we do of it, the clearer it will get and the more of an assist it will be to us in our lives.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when you say that, so what happens with people, of course, us and everybody else, is we are trained, conditioned. Conditioned is such a good word for it. We're brainwashed and programmed into listening to that voice in our heads and believing it's me, I'm thinking, this is how I feel, this is my reality, this is what is so. And we have no way of stepping back and questioning that on a moment-by-moment basis. But with recording and listening, we do. Because we get all of that outside of our heads, we get it into the recorder, we say it, and we listen to it. So we can begin to see, wait a minute, that doesn't sound centered. That voice that's talking there, that sounds like ego. Okay? So now I can hear it on the recordings, I can recognize it when it's happening inside my head, which changes everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy, my experience too. And, you know, I recall the recent Musings newsletter and how it was pointing out that, I don't know how that was said there, but it was something like, you know, what if you put the attention on making it work or something along those lines rather than...
What's working?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Putting the effort
it really messes up conditioning.
It's a whole other channel, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to talk in my head. I'm not going to have any conversations in my head that aren't about here and what's working, what I love, what I appreciate, what I'm thankful for.
Yeah.
Those are the only conversations we're having, inside my head and outside my head.
Yeah, perfect.
Conditioning is not happy with that, but
no.
Who are you?
No. All right, well, great. Let's bring on our next.
Oops. Are you there?
Next caller, you are now live on the air.
Yes.
Introduce yourself.
We've
got somebody there.
I'm here.
Who is it?
This is Brad in Maryland.
Hey, Brad.
Hi, Brad.
What are you seeing?
Well, what I'm seeing my Zen coach suggested I come into the New Year's retreat a little bit late because I've been really kind of dealing with circumstances in my life that are setting up a process of where I'm seeing that because I have such tough things, well, things that ego would consider tough circumstantially in my life, the first things that are really a big challenge since I've been practicing, that I need to be depressed over the circumstances, and therefore I can't project joy, and I need to be involved in this process of believing that I'm depressed because of what's happened.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Brad, just one second. The way you said that is just brilliant. That what the voice wants you to be convinced of is that you need to be in the process of believing that because these circumstances are as they are, you need to be depressed.
Yes.
That,
so there's
yeah.
still some insight, despite what's going on.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So getting back to what was said earlier in your conversation, I'm trying to remind myself that the only place I ultimately need to be is here. Because conditioning and ego constantly tells me that, well, once you get over this, you'll feel better. And once you have more time to deal with what's happened that's so devastating, you'll be okay. Once things on a national level get to the point that something finally happens, then we can be happy again.
Uh-huh. Then you can go to sleep, Brad. Then you can go back.
Yes.
Then you can go unconscious again, and I'll just run your life. Don't you worry about a thing. And in the meantime, lest we fall into the dire situation that you're actually going to be present and experiencing what's going on and learning from it, let's just have you focus on depression until that time when you feel better and you can go back to sleep.
Yes.
And you I just wish it would come, one day it would just say it to you that way, and it would all be clear once and for all.
Well, I jokingly have to ask, well, what day is that? You know.
And I want to hear. I want to know what the voice tells you. Sometime,
you know,
sometime out in your future. Yeah.
Well, you know, before you come to Zen and when you come to this practice, you realize I've been living my whole life that way. There's always been a carrot dangling in front of me.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always a reason not to be present now, because out there somewhere it'll all come together and then you'll have what you want. Yep.
Yeah. And if I could just say that That Which You Are Seeking Is Causing You to Seek, which is one of my favorites, it talks about how people think that, if you're accepting of what is, that it's passive. And it's like, no, not at all.
Not a bit.
It's my experience that to realize, truly realize what is with whatever you're dealing with in life, that is not a passive approach at all.
Takes everything you've got, doesn't it?
It does, particularly when you've got ego sitting on your shoulder. It's, from ego's perspective, it is incredibly hard.
Yeah. And so, Brad, how do you stay with it? You get up in the morning, and these situations in your life exist. I mean, it's true. You know, we're not denying that really challenging things happen in people's lives. So how do you stay with yourself?
Well, I record and listen on the way to the bus in the morning. At midday, I take a walk and I go out and I do a walk around the lake here in D.C. and I record to myself and then remind myself of being here and being present and that there's no other time to deal with other than right now. And then usually at night, it's meditation and it's also another recording to remind myself to be here and as well starting this year-long retreat, also working on that theme. But it's a reminder as I go throughout the day that is a process, a condition process that seems to be going on because you can hear it. You know, you'll wake up certain days and you'll be like, there's nothing. And then, the tapes start. So when you can have that awareness, that's what's going on. Sorry.
And, Brett, is there an element of kind of a reassuring this guy who's going through this that it's okay? There is a coming out the other side. It is true that one day these circumstances will change. That is true. And so our job now is to just stay present and see everything we can and realize or take full advantage of the opportunity that this is. Is there some of that for him?
There is, as the recordings are made and as they're listened back to, what's challenging is throughout the day to provide that mentor support when I'm not doing the recording and listening. That's when conditioning can seep in there.
And scare him to death or make him miserable or convince him he needs to
be stressed. Well, you know, it tells me the content that I'm dealing with. God, this is the worst thing ever, you know. We didn't see this one coming, and therefore, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to affect your practice. You haven't been doing your practice well enough.
Just big open door for self-hate. Okay. So good in the sense that you're getting an up close and personal about what it does to you when things are bad. It's very clear. It's not your friend. It really hopes that you'll go under. With this, and which can strengthen our resolve to not allow it to have a moment more of our lives, since we know that it is arch enemy number one, and just know that you are equal to this, you're adequate, or it wouldn't be going on, and that you are going to be much, much stronger when you come out the other side, not because of anything about the circumstances, but because of the way you've stood up to that hateful system that wants you to just curl up in depression and die.
Right. And if I could just call out ego on one more thing, what it also likes to do is look back to when it said that I had greater insight before these circumstances came up that were tough in my life. And it says, at that time, you had more insight, but it seems you've lost it.
Well, good. It seems to you that I've lost it. Good. That's why I'm not talking to you anymore.
You know, it's funny. I had, like, this greatest hits on my recorder this morning, and I'm like, oh, that's insightful that I recorded that, but I had totally forgotten that I had put it down for myself.
Yeah.
So that was helpful.
Well, and the insights are coming fast and furious. You know that they are. And, of course, that's why it's saying that, because if you were having no insights, it would not bring up the word insight. So, All right. Well, I know you'll take good care of yourself, but I have to say it anyway.
Of course. It's a process. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Yes, exactly so. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Brad.
Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks, Brad. Jerry, we're almost at the end of our time. But one quick note, I don't know if this is how other people experience that kind of a thing, but it's just so inspirational to hear how people are practicing in those kinds of difficult situations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Gives us all strength, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does. Yeah. You know, I find myself wishing I had a bus to catch so I could record and listen on the way, you know, where I need to find that lake that I can walk around and record and listen.
Yeah.
And,
Well, and to be grateful for the times, the moments in our lives that are challenging, because they do cause us to wake up and choose ourselves and choose life and get here. They strengthen us instead of, oh, God, I hope nothing bad ever happens to me. No, it's fine. I don't hope, I'm not masochistic, but I'm not trying to avoid anything because I know it's all a gift. It's all here for me. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Chris. What comes next?
So for tomorrow, if you have always done it that way, it is probably wrong. Charles Kettering. Kind of a slap in the face to conditioning, huh? So much of what we do is unconscious, unexamined reaction to things that happen to us, especially in childhood. Today, recognize your conditioned reactions for what they are and remind yourself that it's time to let them go. Practice doing one thing a different way. Record and listen to what you see. Imagine how your life would open up if you did one thing differently each day.
Ooh, talk about high adventure.
That's really true, indeed.
Yeah, and they don't have to be big things, right? Because it's a process.
Yeah. Yep. Start small and work our way towards those bigger things.
That's it. All right. Thank you so much,
great.
Chris.
Yes, thank you, Sherry.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right.
Thank
great.
You, everybody.
Bye-bye.